We're back to say a few more things. I kind of been preaching over the evening to some of the brethren. We gathered for a little while out at the Parliamentary House and had a little chat. And I said quite a number of things, and I get a little bit exuberant sometimes. I get to preach and just talking to different people. And, of course, I preach to my wife all day long, and I sometimes get real moved or stirred up about different things, and I can't help but say something. Today we went off to lunch up to the place at Ryan's where Susie works. Betty wanted to stop in and kind of shied away from the cafes for a little bit, and today she wanted to go up there. Susie works up there, and she wanted to go up there, so had some real good food. I noticed some of the other folks had come in from the church. But while Betty and I were sitting at the table, I couldn't help but notice some children seated around the table. And there was a whole flock of little folks that had on shorts and high-top socks, little ball players, you know, girl ball players, I guess is what they call them. Just little bitty folks. And the table was lined with them, and they was just wild as a buck. Some was just getting up, laying down on the floor, and they were wrestling, tussling around with each other, and some of them was hollering out, "I'm being crucified, I'm being crucified," and it was really a real reproach, you know, and the waitress couldn't hardly do their work, and the little fellas said just having a good time. They didn't see anything wrong with it, And of course, I thought it was real. They shouldn't have done it, but nevertheless, that's a child. But what upset me was that sitting at the head of the table was supposedly the chaperones, or that is, the man and the woman, and I don't know who all was involved, but anyway, they was not paying any attention to them at all. And there was a flock of them, and these people were sitting up there talking about what fun they was going to have, and this is fun, and not even concerned about the children, talking about some kind of frolic they've had, and they dressed out wrong too, and just going wild and sitting up there, and you know, it really moved me, and I found myself just, I don't know, it really tore me up. I thought, here these bunch of devils are sitting around like this, and I don't mean the people, but filled with devils, and here they are sitting, stealing the virtues of these little kids, and wrecking their mind with TV and all these other kind of things, and filling their little minds with comics and ball games, and their little hearts just rend, and they're tearing them all to pieces. And these little fellas solely trusting in them to look after them, and here they are leading them to the garbage can and throwing them into the flames of hell. You know, just by the millions they've been led into the flames of hell. And these people gullibly going that way, and the Bible said selling their children for a glass of wine. A parting and a glass of wine, and they sell the souls of their little ones and go on with the rock and roll and all of this foolishness of what they call having fun and living. You know, somebody said, "Brother Pike, there you go preaching." Yeah, isn't that strange? But that's why I got up here, and that's what I was doing today, and it really moved me. And if you think I'm preaching today, right now, you should have been around a little earlier. Because I felt like screaming and roaring like a lion and hollering out, "America, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Have you gone slap crazy?" Oh, somebody said, "You're beside yourself now." Oh, no, I was beside myself today. And Paul said, "If I'm beside myself, it's because of Christ." And I thought, this is the craziest thing I ever seen in my life. People have lost all self-control. They don't have any understanding anymore. I sat there and I thought, now, and I said to my wife, I said, "Betty, they send these children to school." I said, "And they go to college." I said, "To teach them the greater qualities of life, and to teach them the greater things in life, and to teach them the soberness of life, and the way that they're supposed to think, the etiquettes of life." I said, "And then they turn them loose like a bunch of fools out here to a ball game and wrestling matches and all the filth of the flesh and the things of the world." I said, "And this is what it brings them to." Somebody said, "Brother Pike, don't say this." I said, "Glory to God, that's what education brings you to. The old tree of knowledge always does that. You might as well say amen or get up and leave. That's what it brings you to. The old tree of knowledge." And I thought, now this is supposed to be the great ethics of today. And this is supposed to be our polished scholars of today. And our children are being fed to devils and demons. And the Bible says they've sacrificed their children to devils and demons. And we read a little bit about the heathen countries. And we rise up about the heathen countries and said, them wicked people throwing their little ones to the snakes and to the crocodiles. Don't you know that's only a symbol? That those people are ignorant. They're poor people that don't know any better. That's been brought up under witchcraft. But here you are that knows better, and you're feeding your children to the devils and demons, which is not allegoric, but the actual devils and demons themselves, to cause them to lose their soul in eternal doom and damnation. You've got to be out of your minds. You know, it brings it to my mind, since I've already got started here. I was just talking the other day, and I said, you know, the Bible says concerning Israel in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it said, Israel, if you'll do the things that I tell you to do, honor me and keep my statutes, I will not bring upon you all of these things I brought upon the Egyptians. I'll deliver you from these things, of the plagues and the sicknesses and the sorrows and the heartaches and all these many things. Because he literally devastated Egypt to the extent that the Egyptian people thought their leader would slap out of his mind. They told him. God turned it into a rubbish pile. Because of his rebellion and contrariness. And God said, Israel, I won't do that to you if you'll listen at me. But Israel did do it. And God got so angry, he said, you worshiped your god Rimphan and your god Moloch. And he said, I'm going to give you up to the host of heaven just to worship all of them. Just go after the devils and the demons or the idols and all of these kind of things. And I thought, my, how horrible. And sure enough, he cut them off and said, you played the harlot at every green tree. And I'm giving you a writing of divorcement. And I thought, now look at Israel. And yet he promised. He said, if you'll honor me, I'll make you the head of the nation. You'll lend the many nations, Israel, but you'll never have to borrow. But Israel did not listen to God. So God made them the tail. And they've had to borrow from all nations. And they've been through nothing but the Holocaust and trouble, sorrow and heartaches. Their women ravished, their little ones torn. And now the Bible said, and now the wrath of God has come upon them to the uttermost because they don't even know the Messiah and they're fixing to go through a tribulation period. And God said, you pray for them because they don't even know the Messiah. They don't even know how to pray to that extent. There's no righteousness without going through Christ. Keeping the law, that's out of the question. Nobody keeps the law. No flesh shall be justified by the law. Doing things and ritualistics and practices and joining churches and becoming a part of a program, that don't mean you got salvation. There's one salvation, that's the Messiah, that's Christ. And when you reject the Word that's been made flesh in the blood of His atonement, you don't have any God because the Spirit will not come to you except through that name. That Spirit of salvation and eternal life, that God that tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus, that comes through the name. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will come in my name and He will reprove the world of sin. That's Him. Now, if you don't come through Christ, you don't get it. And I thought, now there are the Jews, having been cut off, though they're enemies for your sake, as touching the Gentiles, yet they are beloved for God's sake, and God still intends to purge them and bring them through the tribulation period and still intends to make them the head of the nation. And when they become the head of the nation, they'll have the proper control over all the world. And then they'll be the head and not the tail. And they'll have control and they'll have all the wealth of the world. But that's after God purges them, when the tribulation and the anguishness has come upon them to the uttermost because they would not listen to God and they killed the prophet and stoned the wise men and left everything that God had given them, turned it into tradition of the elders and kept the tradition of the elders rather than the commandments of Almighty God. And I thought, now, Lord, that's really something. That's really something. Look what you did to Israel. I heard a voice say, and I'm going to do it to America. And I'm going to do it to the rest of the world. Said America was a chosen nation. She was a nation, a godly nation that I raised up. I give her the very best like I did Israel. I gave her everything. And I fought her enemies and I made her the head of the nation. And she's lent to many nations. Said, but now she's become an abomination in my sight with her evils. And I'm cutting her off, the Lord said, and said, I'm going to make her the tail instead of the head. America, folks, has become a stink in God's nostrils. Religious people, the Pentecostal people, not only the Baptists, the Methodists, and not only the world, but the Pentecostal people, supposedly the cream of the crop, running around after ball games and movies and dressed out in shorts, sucking on cigarettes and doing everything else from dining and partying and laying with men and women, one another, even though the wives and daughters and sons and people that's supposed to be God people. People are, oh no, Brother Pike, oh yes, that's what they're doing. Somebody said, prove it. I don't have to prove it. If you're not blind, you can see it. The child is known by his doings. Do you mean to tell me that that's true, Brother Pike? I happen to know it's true. I've met them and I've talked to them and they've confessed and poured it out. Their preachers have done it. Somebody said, well, give me a proof of it locally. Okay, here's a proof of it locally. I had one man up here in town that built a church. Built the church. And then after he built the church, he started harassing this church. Supposed to be Jesus' name. Pentecostal people. The cream of the crop. I said, leave him alone. God will get him. Wasn't long before they found out he was taking up time with a woman. Got up and let him know it. Went off with her and left his wife, supposedly a fine little wife. Wrecked the whole church. That sounds like a little proof of it, doesn't it? You know what it is? Some of you folks are just blind. You're not looking for anything. You don't want to hear the truth. You don't love the truth. The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I'll send you strong delusions. I'll cause you to believe a lie and be damned. You want to wear your shorts. You want to go out and suck on your weeds. You want to party. You want to curse. You want to smoke. You want to do the things of the world. You want the ball games. You want the frolics. You want to sit around and watch wrestling. You want to talk about all the things of the world. You want the filth of the flesh. The Bible said your deeds are evil. You love darkness rather than you do light. The intellectual. Somebody said, I ain't saying amen tonight. Well, glory to God, I'll say amen. He don't need but one to say amen anyway. So then, what am I saying? What has happened to the world? Well, I thought tonight, God, I better not go up there tonight. I just better not preach tonight. I better stay out of church and just go another way tonight, you know, and just kind of relax or do something and let them people just do whatever they want to or hear whatever they want to. Because if I get up there, I'm going to say something. It's going to be kind of strong. And then I might feel bad, Lord. I better just leave it alone. But the closer it got to church time, the more I felt I was succumb. And I thought, well, I'll do the very best I can, Lord. That's all I know what to say. So, I appreciate that vote of confidence. You know, I appreciate the man called Stan, is that his name, Stanley, out of Atlanta. Writes a little article every once in a while, and I have noticed one or two things in the paper that he wrote. I don't know if he's a Presbyterian, Baptist, or whatever he is. But anyway, he's been separated from his wife for about 2 years, and I think he told him the other day, he said, I'm going to leave the ministry. He said, if I can't get reconciled to my wife, I'm just going to leave the ministry. He talked like that if he couldn't handle his wife and keep his home in order, he was going to leave the church, and he just wasn't going to preach anymore. Just wasn't going to do it anymore. And yet I think he's got 13,000 members. Said some good things in the past. But you know, I appreciate people who stand for something, that actually stand for something. Maybe the man's Baptist, whatever he is, at least he's standing for something, whether he's right or wrong. That's his conviction, and he's standing for something. You know, and I thought, well, praise God for somebody that's got a little bit of stability and some kind of conviction in the world. This mixed up, messed up generation we got, it's terrible. Somebody said, what is that, Brother Pike? What kind of generation is it? It's a sinful, adulterous generation. Jesus said, a generation of vipers that can't escape the damnation of hell. That's where it's at. You know, it's just like a little article that was just published in the paper calling, I think it came from Zimbabwe, was it? Somebody was reading it to me, and I can't remember the quotation as to give you the man's words or whatever. But I understand that this man that is a king or ruler over in Zimbabwe, whatever it is they have over there, he was locking up some people for sodomy. And they said about maybe 10, maybe I have this number wrong, I don't know, 10 or 12 or whatever it was of our legislators or our senators contacted him or went over there and told him, said, you don't have any right to do that. And the man, I can't remember exactly expression, but he said, America, you stay over there with your beastly filth. Or maybe he didn't use the terms filth, but he did beastly. Or you stay over there, he narrowed it down to that, with your beastly passions or filth or whatever he said. Said, and leave us alone over here. Said, you're interfering with traditions and I don't know what all as to the things that we believe in over here. You know, and I thought, I can't hardly believe that. Somebody said, well, do you agree with him saying that, Brother Pike, and locking them people up? It's not that I agree with him and what he's doing. I agree with the truth. I agree with this. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if he's going to lock the sodomites up, he needs to lock all the fornicators up too. All the adulterers up too. All of it's the same thing. So I think it all ought to be done the same way. Now, the Lord had a better remedy in the Old Testament. Say, well, what did he do, Brother Pike? He just killed him. He said, you don't have that kind of folly in Israel. So he just put him out of commission. Now, somebody would say, well, then that's what you believe. No, that's what he believes. Oh, somebody said, but he doesn't believe like that. Oh, yes. He said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I change not. Somebody says, yes, but this is the day of grace. I know, but you've misinterpreted grace. He hasn't changed his law, his statutes, not one iota. He said, my word is not altered to the generations of the world. What I've said to one, I say to all. I'll never change it. I'll never alter it. Moses said, mercy. He said, get out of the way, Moses. He said, I'll slay the people. And God said, Moses said, nay, Lord, if you will, just slay me. They'll say you brought your people out here to kill them. Just slay me. That is, take my name out of the book of life. Just blot it out. Which he did when he got ready to cross over the Canaan. He didn't let him go in. He did use Moses as a scapegoat. Moses didn't know it, but he did do that. You know, being Jesus the prophet likened to Moses, it had to be that way. So that the children could go in, the elders thus had to die. So it was with Jesus as to the crossing of the Jordan. Now, I said that to say this, but God said to Moses, I will punish the one that sins. I will in no wise acquit the wicked, he said to his prophets. I'll judge the man that does wrong. And there will come a day when I'll not blame the parents with the sins of the children. And it shall no longer be said that the parents have eaten sour grape and the children's teeth are on edges. But I'll let them know from me, from the least to the greatest. And I'll judge them according to their own understanding. And the knowledge will get greater and greater, even to the little ones that's in school, as we say today. To come to know, then it is to do, because whatever God gives, he requires. So then where there's a knowledge of sin, sin is imputed. And then grace comes where there's no knowledge, or where there's an effort to do right when you come to know. And if you don't do right or make an effort to do right, you don't get grace. So then grace wasn't so you could practice your evil. And besides that, somebody says, but Brother Pike, you preach that the law is folded up and laid away. I know it is, through grace. Then somebody said, now there you are right there, Brother Pike. Then the law is folded up and laid away and we're under grace. Yeah, who's under grace? Somebody said, well, can't you see that the world is under grace? The world is under grace to the extent the blood is on the seat of atonement. As to the mercy seat to give you time through the church ages to do right and to come to the acknowledgement of God. Because you didn't have any understanding and God didn't require it of you. And it is grace to the extent that he has allowed this wonderful mercy. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Not even willing that the wicked should perish. But if you think God is foolish enough that he's given the world grace and he's going to let the world have grace while they practice their filth, and he's going to give them grace and not make them pay for that, you're out of your mind, folks. I said, you're out of your mind. You've lost your sense of reason. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to let you practice that evil. He said, you are a generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Does that mean he's going to let you practice that and get by with it? He said, you're going to reap what you sow. Every seed you put in the ground, you're going to reap it. Somebody said, well, where are they reaping it, Brother Pike? Look at the plagues. Look at the sorrows. Look at the heartaches. Look at the diseases. Look at the calamities. I sat there in the cafe and I looked at them little children. I said, Betty, just think. God is having to slay people by the thousands. I said, God has to take the lives of thousands of people. I said, like them little children, a cyclone comes and thousands of people or little children die. I said, and God can't do nothing because Satan hath the upper hand in because of their sins, and he got place. They give place to him, and he has to stand there and watch it. I said, but supposing he didn't slay those thousands. I said, then look at the tens of thousands that we would say that would be slain and go into the depths of hell. I said, is it better, Betty, these little children here be killed by a cyclone and their little lives snuffed out and God receive them into glory than it is to let them go on with this foolishness and with this thing that people are instilling within their little brain and hearts and let them grow up and go to hell and spend eternity in hell? Which is the better? I said, God is having to suffer these calamities because people have lost their sense. They've lost their reason. What has happened to them? The Bible said their head is out of control. People go around and say, well, I've got to get my head straight. It'll get straight when you get your heart straight. He purified the heart with faith. But the Bible said the whole body is out of control. So then that means that you have a head which is of the devil. And it's out of control. Because when you get Christ as mine, you're not out of control. But Satan is out of control. He's not under the leadership that God appointed for him. He did not keep his first estate, neither did the fallen angels. And now God has appointed them the wrath as to creating hell in the time of his anger for the devil and his angels. And whoever becomes an accessory after the fact has to go there. I think about the people and I pity them. And I look at them and I think, my God, Lord, you didn't make Adam and Eve. All the rest of the world, just so they could breathe a little temporal breath of life and have a few little days here and filled with fear and sickness and frustration and poverty and depression and all the things of life as to the anxieties of life. Even God should be anxious for nothing. I said, you made man to live and to live. And Jesus said, I am the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. I've come to restore to you that which you lost. That's what he was saying. I am God, the fullness of life on the inside. I'm the fountain of life. I'm the only way that you can get it. I'm the abundance of life. I'm the Prince of Life. I'm the only one that's got control. I've come to you and I want to give it to you. Really, I've come to restore it to you because you've lost it. And then, as I was saying to my wife today, I said, just think now, Betty, here is a body prepared, offerings and sacrifices. Thou wouldest not but a body thou hast prepared me. Well, oh, as it is written of me, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. So, I said, there's the body. The Lord giving the judgments, as I said this morning in the message. God giving the judgments and then going to meet the judgments. And taking the punishment of his own charge to let you escape it like little children because you're innocent. And giving his own blood and suffering. I said, now here it is. There's the fallen Adam. I said, look at it. Adam is fallen. The image is gone. Satan, the thief and robber, has stolen it. I said, God has made the world, the gold and the silver, the birds, the bees, the trees, all of these wonderful things for man. Or that he might enjoy them through man or give them to man and make man the God of the world to the extent that they all belong to man. And then God would live in him in the abundance of life as the spiritual quickening. And that doing this man would have all things, for I've given you all things that pertain unto life. And here God was going to take all of those things to himself through man, that all of these things might glorify the name of God. And that with the silver and the gold and the pearls and the diamonds, even as Solomon used it to build the altars with. And the Bible said God paves his streets out of gold and hangs his gates out of pearls. These beautiful things, his foundations of rubies and diamonds and these kind of things. So then God did this to glorify himself.
And man was to glorify God, because the Bible said with the glory of God. And he was to be the garment of God. And God was to be glorified by man in praises. For Jesus said, Father, glorify thy name. Or the voice that they could not tell from which it came, it said, I have glorified myself. And I will glorify myself. Well, that is, Jesus said, I'm here to glorify you, Lord. I'm the restoration of that which was lost. We're going to get on with the program. Now, Heavenly Father, great eternal Spirit, glorify yourself by my body. Do whatever you have to with my body to glorify yourself. And he was answering, I'm well pleased in you. I've been glorified by the great mighty miracles you've done. I've been glorified by the life you've lived. And I will continue to glorify myself with this body. And given his blood, and I said, Betty, look at that. God having to become a personification, a human body, to come down in the world and sweat blood and to give his blood through travail, and his countenance marred more than any man, and his back plowed like a field, and the nails in his hand, in his feet, and all these things I was saying. See, I said, look at that. He had to do this to restore to man what he'd lost. I said, this body was alien. It was alienated from God. It had fallen from the presence of God and could never get back to life. And was doomed for darkness and hell and eternal damnation. I said, and a human body had to come. God in the human body. And this human body had to pay the price of the judgments and the sorrows and the heartaches to take out the infiltration that had stolen the body. Satan, a thief and a robber, that had gotten in there and stolen it away, as a man taketh the wife from the husband, even as he did Eve from Adam in the symbol. And I said, and there he took it away, and he's defiled it, he's been wretched, he's destroyed the virtues of it, the morals, he's destroyed everything with his intellectual reasoning. He's made it like an old rag doll, glorifying himself with the gold and the silver and the birds, and ruling the world and doing what he wants to with his intellectual PhDs and with his conceit. I said, and look what Jesus had to do. The body travailing and crying out to the great Spirit. Oh, my heavenly Father, regard me as a human body. And oh, through strong tears and offering up supplication with strong tears, saying, hear me for Brother Pike's sake and Sister Betty's sake. And hear me for these people's sake. And, O God of heaven, Shekinah, restore thyself unto me, for we're alienated. We're left desolate. We don't have any life anymore. And we're headed for doom and damnation. And through thy patience and long suffering, restore unto me this inspiration of life, that I might be the Prince of Life. And I might say, I am the firstborn among the brethren in the beginning of the creation of God. And now that we have a new thing going, we'll have that which you intended. And the body will have the fellowship of this great life. Once again, as to the illumination that Adam had. And the innocency will be there. But my travail, and I'll pay the price. And I'll get rid of all the judgments and all of the wrong. And just pour your judgment and wrath out upon me. No man taketh my life, I give it freely. And he died out of the presence of God. And God gave his only son that you might be saved. Somebody said, well, he gave him, but he didn't give him. Yes, he did give him. He died. He made him a sinner. And he that knew no sin was made sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And he made him sin and departed from him and smote him with all of his wrath and laid him away. And when he come forth, the Bible said he come forth in a new form. He was resurrected in a new form. And he had lost that first image that had come to the extent that he was made in the image of man. To do away with your perverted image, because you're born perverted. Adam wasn't perverted. He created him upright. But when he fell and he took on the nature of evil, he become the perverted image, not in the likeness of God, but in the likeness of Lucifer. Jesus stood before them in the image, and he said, you've never seen his image at any time. Yet the Bible said Jesus was the express image of God. And he said, you've never heard his voice at any time. For my sheep know my voice. The wicked shall not hear the voice of God. The trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, and they cannot prepare themselves to the battle. And he stood there, and this image that's fallen, the image with the nature of the devil, Satan in you, and Jesus said, he's your father, and his will you will do. You are a generation of vipers. He said concerning the parable, he said the sower went forth to sow. And then he spoke of some that sowed tares among the good seeds that the good sower sowed. And he said, this is the enemy that done that, and these tares are of the devil. I didn't sow them in my field. And sure enough, Satan sowed them. And the Bible said Cain, at the beginning of those things back there, was he not of the wicked one? Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his brother's deeds were good and Cain's were evil. He was of the wicked one. So he said, yo, your father the devil, and his will you're going to do. And I brought you light and understanding, and I give you the word of wisdom, and I give you a way out of the darkness. But you love that intellectual way of yours. You like that darkness. You are a creature of night. You want that intellectual reasoning and the philosophy and the conceit. And you want the baseness of human reasoning and the old passions. And you want to go back into the homeland and into your own way of the flesh and the things of the world. Always looking back into Egypt. You can't get away from it. And as I was saying, this old Egyptian civilization, God said, Israel, if you'll leave it alone, I won't put these things upon you. But America, you're going to do it anyway. The true Israelite is here. The spiritual Israelite is here. The deliverance is here. And God is going to turn Egypt into an ash heap. All of them with their old civilization of Egyptian hieroglyphics and the things that they use as a definition of culture. So then God is doing away with it. And here we stand, the old thing in this world is a natural people. And giving heed to those things and walking in darkness unless we're born again, unless we're filled with the light of God, unless we have this understanding, as I said this morning, to put on this beautiful garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and to let our light shine that men may see it, even unto the ends of the world, as to the expressions of this wonderful knowledge and glory of God, to reinstate, to ask for the old paths, to walk therein, to find rest under our soul, not to move the landmarks of the fathers, but go back to the things that God said. So when we think about this and we realize that the fall came and Adam fell, and Jesus travailed until he brought life back to the body. And today now, because of that, the body has the fellowship and relation of God again. The blood is on the seat of atonement. And now, though the handwriting is on the wall in Babylon is going down fast, yet it is a true fact that there is grace throughout the world. Even the rain on the just and the unjust, for in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit, but all flesh. And having a chance for this grace. But folks, I'm reminding you of one thing. The Bible says, they that have fallen from grace are under the law. So when I tell you that the law is folded up and laid away, that means that you are not under the law. Because you've been born again and you're dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it hath no power over you. For you've been buried with him and you're resurrected with him. And you're a new creature and old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But at the same time, when you fall from grace, you are under the law and will be judged by the law. And the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And all of the world that refuses God, all the world that's fallen from God, all the religious people that come to the knowledge of God and won't follow through are under the law and will pay an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They'll lift up their eyes in hell like the rich man did, saying, my tongue is parching and I'm tormented in these flames. It'll come to pass. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, the Bible said, appointed unto man wants to die and after that the judgment. I'm waiting for the judgment. Oh, no, this is the judgment. Somebody says, but I can't fathom that, Brother Pike, because if this is the judgment, where then did I die? That's what it's all about. The Bible said we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, buried with him in baptism. And Paul said, if we've been baptized into him, we have put on Christ. as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And the Bible says, now, if we've been buried with him in baptism, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So if I'm dead with him by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I reckon myself to be so, having been delivered for my offenses, that is Jesus. Now he's been raised again for my justification, and now here I am in a new world, in a new form. He was resurrected in a new form, and the first man Adam passed away, and the second man Adam was made a quickening spirit, and now I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So then, now after that, the judgment. I died by the body of the Lord Jesus. Then comes the church. Then comes the judgment. For whosoever sins that the minister remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sins that the minister retains shall be retained. And so then the judgment is here. And judgment begins in the house of God. And so then here we are as to the new birth, the passing away, changing, coming to the wonderful things of God, and then acknowledging by faith the mind and instruction of God, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature, toward the full reward, just because God is speaking, doing all things, that is the minister, as unto God, and not him speaking, but the voice of God, because he's concerned about the people and concerned about his sheep. So again, I say, and I travail till Christ be formed within you, and then I look at the people and I think, They are the apple of your eye. You intended for them to live forever. You don't want them to die. They're your creation, God. Lord, you don't want them just to have a little life and go through all the sorrow and heartache. But learning obedience by the things we suffered, as I said earlier today, God has to break you. Now the question arises like this, as I was discussing it with my wife. I said, Betty, why does God have to break us? I said, it's because our strength in the natural lust, our first birth consists of the devil. I said, we're born with a perverted heart to the extent the Bible said the spirit of foolishness is in the heart of a child. And it needs a rod of correction to instruct it and bring it to the truth, even as a child. I said, and then the heart is desperately wicked, as we say, above all things. Who can know it? And then God is to purify the heart with faith before we can come into it. Because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confession is made unto salvation with the lips. I spoke of the confession of faith today, how faith itself makes a confession. Christ is faith, confesses the things that God did in our behalf through Christ, the righteousness of God, even the faith of Jesus Christ, by which we're sanctified once and for all, perfected forever. So then, when we consider these things, then I say, Betty, the Lord has to break us. I said, because all of our strength consists of a conceit. I said, it is a zeal that eats God up as to the word of his mind and understanding. Our zeal of intellectual reasoning eats God up. No matter what the preacher tells us, no matter what God tells us, we're going to reason it in our own mind. We're going to judge it in our own mind. We know all of that, plus we fail. And we're going to categorize things the way we want to. We're going to put it in the position in our mind like we want to. And we're going to use it according to our own design. We're going to come up with our own decision and make our own goals and go our own ignorant way. I said, and we're going to go our own ignorant way. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, you don't have to say that. I said, and the Bible says that you are blinded by the ignorance within you, even the darkness of that ignorance, and you'll never see light. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. All right, sell the old tree of ignorance. Get your PhD if you want to be ignorant. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean you wouldn't be going after it if you wasn't ignorant to start with. Somebody say amen. You either need to say shut up or amen. So then, what is that? You don't have time to mess with the tree of knowledge. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, I want a good understanding. The Bible said all of them that are born of God are good understanding. I've told you over and over, Israel did not have colleges. They did not have industries. They built the greatest commonwealth the world ever known. They did that by faith in God. For the Bible said the Spirit of God shall be upon him and make him a quick understanding. It doesn't matter how many PhDs the scholars has got. You start talking to Einstein if he was alive today. And you start talking to him about the things that we're talking about, he would be as lost as he could be. he wouldn't have no understanding at all. A man can have a whole book of learning and not have any understanding. Somebody said, well, what is understanding? To depart from iniquity, the Bible said. And when a man don't depart from iniquity, he is without understanding. And the Bible said, if you perceive there's no understanding, man, go from him. So then, when we consider this, God has to break us. All of our zip, all of our strength, all of our drive, all of our ambition is for education. It is for the perverted things of the world. It is for gold and silver and riches. And it is a thief and a robber. It is the thing that Satan wants. He savors the things that be of the flesh and the things that be of the world. He wants titles. He wants admiration. He wants to be the chief. He wants to be the master. He wants to be a Nicolaitan ruler. Conquer the laity. Nico is to conquer, and Leighton as to the laity. He wants to conquer them. He wants to bring them to ball games and bring them to movies and put them under his old intellectual way of life and cause them to be conquered, lead them into a bondage to where he has control over them. And through that evil of his, he wants to scatter God's people and divide God's people and do away with God's strength. And then the devastation to the judgments and all these things come upon them. And people don't understand. But the Bible said you learn obedience by the things you suffer. And when you suffer long enough, you'll cease from sin. What is God doing? He's breaking us with all of these things. David said it was good for me that I was afflicted. I learned to keep his commandments. So then he is breaking us. What is he breaking? Whosoever falleth on the stone shall be broken. Upon whomsoever it falleth, it shall grind him to powder. And so then God is breaking the people. He's trying his best to get the evil out of them, the conceit out of them, their perseverance as to a stability and what they call intestinal fortitude. God doesn't look for intestinal fortitude. He doesn't look for conceit. He doesn't look for self-esteem. He doesn't need education. He's trying to tell you have good God common sense, as we say, as I've given you. He doesn't want your conceit. He doesn't want your stability in the world. He doesn't want your zeal in the world. It's eating him up. He hates it. He hates your image. But folks, when we get the mind of Christ and we get the nature of Christ and we're transformated and we're changed and we're baptized and we bury that old corruptible thing that's got the poison of asp under his tongue and we bruise his head with the thorns, and we put him to sleep and bury him in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and rise as a godly person, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then we're the apple of God's eye. We have his nature, and we go on to make manifest in this mortal gene the wonderful illumination of the mind of Almighty God until this glory that's revealed from heaven, where the Bible said it now is revealed unto the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Even this great, wonderful glory of God is to the Word that spoke the world into existence to be made manifest in your mortal genes to a change of a celestial and eternal body. So then in this we realize that he breaks us. He's got to break that spirit. And it must be broken. And then his spirit will come in. Then our strength will consist of him. And our ambition will be of him. And our conversation will be in heaven. And our desire will be in heaven. And our mind will be in the Word. And we'll meditate in it day and night and get rid of every thought. Bring it into subjection to Christ. And we'll be a new creature and a new body. And we'll be holy in body and in spirit. For God wants to present us, as Paul said to himself, body, soul, and spirit, blameless as a chaste virgin. So when we consider these things and we understand what God is trying to do with his people, then we realize that God has had to subject us to these things to make a sovereignty out of us. And as I said earlier today, God had to do this to let us pass through the fire that he might test us and try us and find even down to the hairline of resistance and rebellion before he committed to our trust the true riches and give us these things that are in the world where we could look at them and pass through them saying it's the land of Esau. I won't sell my birthright for a morsel of bread in the time of my greed and lust. I'll wait until I get into Canaan, for there is my inheritance. and then I'll do what God tells me to do. Otherwise, I'll die. I'll swear to my own hurt, and I'll do what he tells me to do to get to Canaan. So when we consider these things, we realize then that God has done all of these things as to the suffering. So it's for our good. And the devastations is pouring out on us today. Not because the people have become sinners and become bad. Have the people ever been good? They've been bad from the very fall. The devil got into them from the beginning. And Adam all die. And death has reigned over them. But why is he upset? It's because his people are not using the backbone to stand up. His people that are supposed to be religious America, God-fearing America. His people that are supposed to be the Pentecostal people. Some people in the different churches are not standing up with a backbone. They should be crying out for the impeachment of all of those leaders in their government to get them out of the government and preaching against those things and declaring that to be ugly and not right in the sight of God and condemn it and bring it down. Where are they at? What are they doing? Hey, well, they say, I don't want to get involved. It's like I heard of yesterday, I believe it was, something that's pretty close. And I heard this, that 18-year-old boy and about a 20, 22-year-old boy together, their little dope scheme, got in a dispute, went off into the woods, a gunfight. The 20-year-old killed the 18-year-old, shot him, left him there, took the chain off of his neck, as to the gold chain, put it around his or took it with him and went off and left, and then found out that the police was on his trail to the extent they were looking, trying to find out who killed this boy. Gets his girlfriend and goes back down there, and the boy's still alive, laying in the woods or wherever it happened. And then he puts the chain back around his neck and left the boy laying there and went off and let him finish dying there. And they found him maybe a couple of days later as whatever it was. And then went over to someone's house that you know. Took his clothes over there, took his shower, told him there'd been a bad gunfight, some Cubans had attacked them. And here the woman, not like she ought to have been anyway, and allowing things she shouldn't have allowed anyway. And then there it was, his clothes, it was there. And she had no idea what was going on. She had just been allowing things to go on there that should have went on, should not have gone on there as to dope coming in and out. And so she didn't really know what was going on. And he explained the blood away, and it wasn't long before the police come. And she had to tell him that she did have clothes there with blood on it that she didn't understand. And she turned it over to the hands of the police. And then they come to find out as to the boy making the confession that he had killed the boy for $40 and over a dope deal. Well, somebody says, isn't that common, Brother Pike, in the day we're living in? Yeah, it's common for a sinful, adulterous generation, a life just smothered out at 18 years old and could be in hell. And another one that'll be smothered out by the electric chair or be put in prison for years. So what? What's that got to do with us? I tell you what it's got to do with. It's like I told the policeman. I said, you guys running around with your badges and guns, and I've said this a number of times. I said, you protect these liquor joints over here, and you give right to these people. They know that the children are going in there. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, they're not supposed to do that unless they're 21. You know that's crazy. You know that they know better than that. You don't take guns and lay them down in front of a bunch of little children and not expect them to mess with them. Come on, folks, let's be realistic. Come on, let's be realistic. Say shut up or get out or do something. Tell me that. That's all right, I can handle it. What are you doing? Where are you at? What do you stand for? I'm speaking to people around the world. And you're supposed to be saying amen or doing something. You know what it is? It's the very thing I'm preaching on. You don't have a backbone to stand up for God. Somebody said, but we go to church, Brother Pike. So what? The devil does. I said, the devil does, and all of his imps go to church. So does 100 million people all over the world and more. But we belong to something, Brother Pike, that believes in God. So does a lot of other people. That don't mean nothing. How many of you know Judas belonged to something that was of God? Didn't mean a thing. He still had the treacherous evil doings in his heart. Now, what is wrong? It's the perversion of the law. It's the perversion of the people. Because they love darkness, they don't do anything about it. They, collectively speaking, don't make any effort toward the right thing. And so then the law says you can't abuse those little children. You turn those little fellows loose. You know what they were saying, if you could interpret it? They're saying, don't abuse those little people. We are a bunch of devils. We want to ravish them. We want to rape the little girls. And we want to turn the little boys into sodomites. And if you have any father and mother control of them, you might make them do right. You turn them loose till we can get a hold of them. And we'll wreck them. Somebody say amen. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I believe that they want to protect our little children. You know you're off at the head, folks. You don't have good understanding. If they wanted to protect your children, why do they protect the liquor joints so they can go to them? They know the dope rings is around. Why do they do that? And if they're trying to stand against child abuse, why do they, after they ravish them, destroy them, and put the whiskey in their hands and the guns in their hands, go out and beat them with billy sticks and throw cuffs on their hands and throw them in jail and treat them like a bunch of animals and put them in the electric chair? Isn't that child abuse? Somebody say amen. No wonder God is sick with us as a people. He said the whole body is sick. You know, a lot of times when people don't do right, a wife acts up or a man acts up, the other one say, I think you're sick. If that be true, then America must really be in bad shape. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? The Bible said the sick need a physician. And the physician he was talking about, they said, heal thyself, O physician. I made the statement, the natural physicians of today, all they do is offer you some kind of pills or ingredients or something to try to protect your life if they're the right kind of physician. But intermingled and mixed up with all of that are those that are out there as dope peddlers, as doctors, as winos, as doctors, as people that are looking for money, drunk, not drunk off of wine, but just like some of them at Bethlehem, drunk off of the cares of the world. The world is drunk, just as much drunkards as those that's on dope and wine and whiskey and whatever, drunk trying to make a dollar, establishing some kind of business or have some kind of income and look for social securities and benefits. So what is it? That's the condition of the world. They're sick. They're sick. And God is about sick of the whole thing. So then, where is our backbone? Where is the people that speak up against this? What are they doing about it? Why aren't they saying something? I don't want to be involved. Somebody says, well, you're involved. You're involved when the devil comes down on you and he does your children that way and he enslaves you and you're continually giving them money and they make it a money gimmick just to lock up and to take and to get your children's money and to ravish them, then turn them loose so they can go out again and finally shoot them down or whatever they do. Somebody said, well, I think you ought to hold your peace. Well, bless God, by his help, I'll never hold my peace. He said, I'll set watchmen upon your wall that will never hold their peace. I've set you over the nation to pluck up and to plant. I feel like plucking up tonight. I've been doing a little planting this morning, but I feel like plucking up tonight. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, the Bible said you're not supposed to pluck them up. He said, pluck them up. Somebody said, but he said, leave them alone and let them grow together. I know he did out in the world. That's what I'm doing. I'm leaving them out in the world. I'm not bothering the world. All of them are drunk. All of them are sick. All of them are doing those things. I'm not surprised at it. But I said, the people that are supposed to be the people of God, the Bible said, these that are called by my name. He didn't say them people out there. It was the religious people that gave Jesus trouble. He said, Pharisees and scribes, you are a bunch of hypocrites, he said. He said, if the people that are called by my name, if they'll do right, if they'll turn around and call on God, I'll hear from heaven and heal their lands. Isn't that right? Sure, he'll get rid of the bunch of beasts. He'll put the beasts back where they belong, into pastures, and he'll give you control again. Somebody say amen. But folks, as long as we're not standing up, showing Christ that we love Him, and we don't, and we're like a chameleon changing with every leaf, and don't have any backbone, any stability, don't cry out against nothing, don't lift our voice up against wrong, and just wishy-washy without any kind of backbone, they're just going to drive us right on into the sea, as we say. Right on into the pit. They're going to leave us there, and there's nothing we can do about it because we're going to be just as guilty as they are, and we're going to be an accessory after the fact because we didn't cry out against it. Somebody says, that's not Bible. Oh, yes, it is. The Old Testament, when a man ravished a woman, if that woman did not cry out, she was as guilty as he was. And if she cried out and she was in the field, then God held her guiltless because they couldn't hear her cry. But if she was local, if she was nearby and didn't cry out, she was guilty. What was that? It meant she had to be stoned, just like he was, that no folly be wrought in Israel. Well, anyway, the summary of this whole thing is the handwriting is on the wall. It's old Babylon going around saying, look what I done. Look at my PhDs and my DDs. And look at what I done. And look at our glorious education. And look at our culture. Now, look at what you've done. You've turned the whole world into a bunch of beasts because the devil intended that to start with. He was the one that started the whole regime, and he's accomplished his purpose and wrecked humanity, but God has prepared a table before them that love Him. And they have clear escape, though they're just a little flock. He's given them the kingdom. And so then that means that we're going to cry out against something, and we're going to stand for something, and we're going to do something if we can. I read the report the other night. We're just through that network that we got here, that out of this, thousands of people in the governmental ranks, in the colleges, in the schools, as well as people all around in businesses and every other phase of life, is receiving the same literature that goes out by the voice of God right here, in that the Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord, and it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father within you. And it goes out, and they get it, and they say, we want to get it, we want to hear it, we want to know it. To have a love for the truth, America, and God will not turn you over to the reprobate mind to be sodomites and beasts and drive you out like Nebuchadnezzar, going around looking at those things, saying, look at what our hands have done and look what we've done. And the handwriting's on the wall is in the days of Belteshazzar. And God's about to bring the walls of Babylon down and stop your confusion and lay you even with the ground. Somebody said, why do you clap your hand? The Bible said, clap your hand, all ye people. If it's the word of God, clap your hand. If a man hits a home run, clap your hand. Isn't that right to the world? If he breaks somebody's neck wrestling, clap your hands, folks. Dance and swing your partner and clap your hand. In the house of God, is it wrong then to clap your hands for God? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, if I sound a little bit excited and a little bit beside myself, you know why? It's because I am. I am so weary. The devil fights me probably as hard as anybody in the world and anybody at Bethlehem. You don't have any idea how he hates me. If there's any such thing as hating anybody's guts, he hates mine. But you know what? He's got a right to do that in the sense of his evil, wretched way, because I hate him. I hate his imps. I hate the thoughts of him. I hate for his name to even be mentioned. I hate him with a perfect hatred. David said, I hate evil with a perfect hatred. The Bible said, hating the garment is to the human body that's spotted with iniquity and with fear, pulling some out of the fire and saving some. That's why he came to me the other night as a roaring lion when he pounced upon me. Screamed out in my face, he was Lucifer. I don't care if he is Lucifer. I don't care how he screams out. I still am not afraid of him, and I don't care about him. And I have no respect for him whatsoever. Though he come as a cyclone and a roaring lion enough to tear anybody to pieces, just the thoughts of being in his presence to go weak as water. Jesus said, don't fear him that's able to destroy the body, and after that can't do any more. take your natural life, but fear him rather that's able after that he has killed the body to destroy the soul in hell, which is Christ Jesus. This is who you should fear. So then, I fear God. I fear God. Well, let's stand together and just say these little words tonight that it might be some encouragement to you or make you to feel and understand how I feel about it. You know, maybe you won't feel the same way, but anyway, you'll have opportunity to, and you'll at least know how that I feel about it, because that's the way I feel about it, folks. All right, I didn't feel much respond tonight. Got some hand claps, but there wasn't too much respond out of some of your spirit. But some of you did, and that's what matters, because it is a little flock. And you are the one that's receiving the word. You're the one that's receiving the kingdom. So then, with these things tonight, they go on tape and they go to people. They go to your heart and they can be rejected. I stand at the heart's door and knock. Anyone that's opening to me, I will come in. And so the word is knocked tonight, and it's up to you to let it in. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But you'll be accountable to God as to whether you did or whether you didn't. I won't have to pay, you'll have to pay. I'll have to pay as to what I've done and what I've said and answer for that. And I'll have to pay according to whether or not I let it in or whether I said it to you and I'm not practicing it. But you'll have to pay when you hear these words. After that, you are then guilty or you're innocent, depending on the outlook that you take toward it. And your outlook proves your believing, and your believing proves your justification as to whether good or bad, your sins are remitted or retained. Well, let's sing a little chorus together. I met old Satan this morning. Sure did. We battled him the whole day long. But God gave me strength in my weakness. And at sundown, I sang victory song. For the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old world's gonna give way to glory. Like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. In a world of heartaches and sorrows, it's so hard when you can't understand. But I'm standing on a solid foundation, and I hold to an unchanging hand. For the sun's coming up in the morning, every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old world's gonna give way to glory. Like an eagle, I'll take to. Can you sing it with me? For the sun's coming up in the morning, and every tear will be gone from my eyes. This old world's gonna give way to glory. And like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. You know, folks, the Bible says, I would that you were hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And because you have not a love for the truth, when I've spoken to you, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I'll send you strong delusions. I'll cause you to believe a lie and be damned. I'll let you go on thinking your thoughts and doing your way. Because you didn't cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And because you did not bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll let you go on with your programs and let you go on with your careers and your PhDs and your DDs. And I'll let you go on with the old tree of knowledge. And I'll turn you over to reprobate mind and I'll let you become a bunch of sodomites. I'll put you out with the beast like I did Nebuchadnezzar. Until your fingernails grow out like claws and your hair grow out like feathers. And let your mind completely lose you. And that's what America's done. She's completely lost her mind. When a heathen nation, as to the darkness of Africa, that's been known to be in darkness, has to rebuke America, folks, it's time to tear down and start over. Well, let's sing another little chorus or two and we'll let you go. The chimes of time ring out the news and another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Friend, was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. But do not be discouraged, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And with arms wide open, Christ will pardon you. For it is no secret what God can do. It's no secret what the Lord can do. He can help you. The writer says, there is no night, for in His light you never walk alone. You always feel at home. And there is no power that can conquer you as long as He is on your side. Just take Him at His promise and don't run away and hide. For it's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. So then tonight, it's no secret what God can do. If you're willing to follow God, He can do anything for you. But folks, you're going to have to stop being lukewarm. You're going to have to get down to business and stop just dabbling around the world, planning your future as to when you're going to get right and do something for God. And get on one side of the fence or the other, because He's going to put you on one side of the fence or the other. He's tired of America and He's tired of the world and he's especially tired of the religious people of the world. He's tired of them and He's spewing them out of His mouth by the tens of thousands. And I keep telling you that it isn't just the world out there that's turning into these evil, rotten doings. It's the church world. It's the church world. It is the preachers. A religious America. What is senators doing? Meddling in people's affairs overseas in the way that they went about that. What kind of judgment is that? Or what kind of business do they have meddling in people's affairs? They've been told over and over to stay out of those countries. To leave them alone. They don't respect America anymore. They don't listen to America anymore. They don't follow America anymore. They say, mind your own business, you're a bunch of sodomites. What happened to the wonderful America that we know? been Mr. Washington established and Mr. Lincoln established, what happened to the early people of the 13 colonies that we had that gave their wealth and their lives to establish virtue when there was real ladies, people of the frontier? My wife was telling me today, said, you know, George, I remember when we as the ladies of Bethlehem wore the long dresses and people wanted to reproach them. Said, but I've been here today in the shopping area and said, I've seen one right after another in the long dresses. I remember telling her that it would be like that. But what is that? See, the women have thrown their virtues away. They stoop down to everything. They don't have anything left anymore. They're just like an old dish rag, a barfly. Done the same thing Israel did when he said, you played the harlot under every green tree. And I've given you a writing of divorcement. That's what he's done to your body, because it's the feminine and the spirit is divorcing it. And as he put away Israel, and then the curse came upon him, so is he putting away America. And they're going to be under the curse. They're losing their wealth. Not lending to the nations like Mr. Bush when he had to go to Japan. God let the vomit come to let him know it was vomit at his table. When he went over there begging for help over here. We're supposed to be mighty America that lends to nations. What is it? The people have done these things, and because of that, now they want to put on the long dresses. They want to dress like a lady, some of them. And some of them want to dress like gentlemen. But what have they got anymore? What have they got? They become sheep clothing, or wolves in sheep clothing. That's all. Somebody says, but I don't like that kind of preaching. But I do. I do. I do. That's why I do it. I like that kind of preaching. All right. Let me sing another little chorus. While we sing another chorus or two, we're going to give you a chance to worship the Lord just for a few minutes, and then we're going to turn you loose and let you go. You pray that God will keep the right thing coming from the sacred desk, folks. For over 20 years, we've tried to keep it coming, the right thing. But remember, when you lose your hunger and thirst, God will turn you over to reprobate mind, and he'll give you something else to come from the sacred desk. That's the Bible. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. But if you have not a love for the truth, he'll withdraw. So you pray that God won't leave you with your houses desolate, because he's doing that to the church world. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, didn't he do that to Israel? Yes, he did. And look what happened to them. The Holocaust and the sorrows and all of their goodies was taken away. He said, you go get it from your lovers now. See if they'll give it to you. They wouldn't give it to Israel. Now, America, you go see if somebody's going to give it to you. Will your houses be left desolate? I don't see it, somebody says. Well, desolate indicates, in your case, that the Spirit of God will be gone. The waters of life won't be there. And the heavens will be like brass over your head. And the earth will turn into powder and will not yield to you her fruits. For it was said to Cain, and the earth shall not yield to you her fruits. And that means your body won't yield the fruits of the Spirit anymore, as well as the world. What does that mean? If your houses are left under you desolate, somebody says, well, I haven't seen it. Why are they going after the ball game? Pentecostals. Why are they going after the ball games? They used to shout and praise God. They used to sing to his glory. They used to grow in the grace. They used to talk about the word of God. Not careers. Not being with the ecclesia. Not being in the government. Or being a dignitary in the world, or having a business to bring a little prestige to the church. You know why? Because they're desolate. The Holy Ghost is leaving them. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, the Holy Ghost, do you have to have the Holy Ghost? You certainly do. The Bible said it's one spirit. That's Christ's spirit that comes in his name, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And if you have it not, then you're not his. If you have it, you'll have the fruits of the spirit. And if you don't, then you're barren and you're none of his. Having the fruits of the spirit, you have the end thereof, everlasting life. Well, somebody said, well, I believe they've got it. With ball games, movies, and those things. When the Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there, and you tell me that the Holy Ghost is dwelling in that, you know better than that. If he is, he wouldn't be the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I can tell you, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not dwelling in that kind of thing. He's left them desolate. They're desolate, and they're becoming beasts like Nebuchadnezzar. All of them, the religious world as well. They're becoming beasts. They're turning to the intellectual tree of knowledge and becoming beasts. That's what a beast is those that turn to the intellect. And that's what they're doing. Gross darkness is to cover the people in the end time, which means in the end time they'll go after the PhDs and the DDs, and everybody will want their honorary papers. And the Bible said, seeking honor one of another, they do not get the honor that comes from God because they seek honor one of another. Titles and wanting to be lords over God's people. Their minds on the flesh and faces and forms, lovers of the flesh. Satan saveth the thing that be of the world, not the things that be of God. Satan, thou savest the things that be of your own body, of your own flesh. You're gullible, you're evil, you're a thief and a robber, you're a killer. You come to kill and destroy. Exactly what he did. It's what he's doing. Not only that, but if it wasn't for God intervening, there wouldn't be any flesh spared at all. Not any. The devastation of diseases and heartaches and sorrows and all these things as to the misdemeanors of life would completely consume Adam's race, the people of the world. It's doing it anyway. If God doesn't intervene, there won't be nothing left. Doctors can't do anything about it. The doctors give you a little prescription and try to help you because there's some, as in the ministry, they represent that. And there's some that are godly, wants to be godly and wants to help and preserve life. Others are just there to get their money in the routine and they butcher you and they do whatever they give you, anything they can think of to get you out of their hair just to pay on their cars and get rich. And what happens to you? That's just too bad. That's just too bad. Well, I don't believe that. Somebody says, well, it's so anyway. Hallelujah. You're the one that believes the lie. You're turned over to the reprobate mind. You'll go after it because that's what you believe. But you know, if you'd heard the word and believed the word, you wouldn't be taken into captivity by then. If you'd practice not leading other people into captivity through your conversation and being a real light to lead them out of the things of the flesh and the desires of the old human form and faces, and to lead them away from the bondage of the world and all of those kind of things, and lead them into the liberty of the children of God instead of promising them liberty when you yourself were a child of bondage. But if you'd lead them into liberty and not into bondage in your conversation looking for the vain deceit of the world, as to the vanities that's going to pass away, then you would have liberty. Just lift your hands up and close your eyes, and we're going to sing this little chorus together. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that washed away every stain. Once again, so I will praise him.